You are listening to a Central Life Christian Church presentation. For more information, visit centrallife.com.au.
Thanks for coming today. So I just want to encourage you this morning. I'm just going to share a bit. You know, Steve talked a couple of weeks ago about bringing and sharing when we come to church, every single one of us. So this morning I'm going to come and bring and share. So I just want to backtrack a bit. You know, I heard this amazing message the other day from a preacher, and it really spoke to me. And it really spoke about how simple the gospel of Jesus is and how the church is being called really to go back to those basics with Jesus and to put our focus back on him where it belongs. And that only as we as humans, we complicate the gospel. We complicate life. But Jesus is simple. And putting our focus back on him is really important. And so over the last couple of weeks, we had Keith speaking about living a life free because of Christ. Free in everything that we do. It's a simple message. Steve spoke about bringing and sharing when we come to church, being involved when we come to church, not just relying on the people at the front to entertain us, but really bringing something as a body of believers to the service. And then Paul spoke last week on a lot of things, but he also spoke about the priesthood of all believers. That's who we are, church. We're the priesthood together of all believers. And, you know, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this light." Church, we've been called out of darkness into his light. You know, it might be dark out there in the world, but we're the light and we carry it. And we're here today because of Jesus. I'm here today because of Jesus. We are blessed. You know, church, Jesus is the most important piece in life's puzzle. Last week, Paul showed that clip. You remember that clip of he called himself Reverend and he had a heart attack and he died for about 40, 45 minutes and he was raised from the dead miraculously. You know, and he said, he's here today because of Jesus. We're here today because of Jesus. Jesus is so important. I thought, I looked in the New International Version Bible. How many times is Jesus mentioned in the Bible? He's mentioned 1,273 times in that version. He's important, church. He's the answer to life's, he's the piece in life's puzzle. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you about Jesus. John 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. That name is Jesus. Every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verse 10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." John 14, 6. Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me." Acts 3, verse 6. "But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." Jesus is the healer. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Proverbs 8, verse 35. "For whoever findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favour of the Lord." Acts 4, verse 11. "This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which is become the head of the corner. Church, that's Jesus. That's the Lord that we serve. That's the Lord that lives in our lives daily. We're here today because of Jesus. That's something to celebrate. Isn't it, church? That's something to celebrate. We're here today because of Jesus. Not of our own accord, but because of Jesus. Because he called you and I. He knew us before we were born. He knew our name. He called you and I. We're here today because of that. And I just feel so encouraged by that. I just could not imagine doing life today without Jesus. Life is sometimes tough enough. But to not have Jesus in our lives, that would just be terrible. It would be so hard. I'm here today because of Jesus. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And so I thought I'd just give a bit of a testimony this morning. Bring and share a testimony. Each one of you and myself, we carry a testimony because of Jesus. Who's seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding? The movie. I'm Greek, and that's how I grew up. I grew up in a dysfunctional Greek family, and it was interesting. Life was always interesting. But in that mix, I grew up in a cult. So if you put a Greek family with a cult, which doesn't match or make sense, that's how I grew up. My dad got saved in his early 20s, and he was in Sydney, and he was in his early 20s, and he got saved and he joined the Methodist church. And he was training to actually be a Methodist, what do you call them? Minister, Reverend Minister. And as he was training to be a minister, one day God just visited him in a most powerful way. And he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and he spoke in tongues. And he just got so excited about God. So excited that he was too excited for the Methodist church. Way too excited. And they kicked him out of the church. And so he was looking for a home and he ended up in another church, which at the time, I'd have to say, was on fire for God. You know, they were so excited about God. They were having a revival, basically. And he got caught up with them and for a while it was quite good. But then, you know, they camped around the same revival. They camped around God doing the same thing every day. And then they preached it all the time and they believed it. And then they chose one part of the gospel instead of the whole gospel and just focused on that. And down the track, the church actually became and had the tendencies of a cult. And that can happen. And so I grew up in that. And life was interesting. And I've got a photo, Matt, if you can bring that photo up, of the church that I grew up in. I don't know if you can see it very well. It's right at the end. That's the church I grew up in. And that's me right at the front in the middle. It's not a very good picture because it's quite old. But we were a great family, church. But we had some strange ways, some very strange ways, and some very strange ways about God. You know, I grew up knowing of God, but I'm not sure that I really personally had a relationship with him. I'm not sure I personally had a relationship with Jesus, but I knew of him. And the only God that I knew of was the God of fear. And, you know, I walked around in my life thinking that I never made the grade, that I was never good enough, and that I always had to work to get God's approval. And let me tell you, church, that's not how God operates. You know, we have an opportunity to be in relationship with him. You know, Jesus is our friend. He's our Lord. He's our Saviour. He's our Father. He's our Comforter. He's always there for us. We can have a normal conversation with him at any time. He's there. But that's not the way I grew up and it's not the God that I knew. And so being in this cult was really, really interesting. They controlled the way I thought. I was only allowed to think a certain way. They controlled the way I dressed. When you'd go into the women's bathrooms at church, there was a big poster up with magazine cutouts of clothes, and it had ticks next to the ones you could wear, and then there was the naughty list of the clothes that you couldn't wear and had crosses next to it. And that was in the women's bathroom. They controlled what you could wear. They controlled the friends that you could see. They controlled the family members that you could spend time with. Basically, if your family was in the church, that was okay. But if your family wasn't in the church, that was not okay, and you really weren't supposed to spend much time with them. They did a lot of damage in the name of God. They thought they were doing good, but they lacked because they had a distorted picture of who God is. They had a distorted relationship. In some parts, it was quite broken. And so life was really interesting growing up. But, you know, life got tougher. And when I was about 8 years old, I'm an only child, so it was me and my two parents, which is unusual for Greek people. But I was an only child. And at 8 years old, my mother got cancer. And that just threw us in a spin. And my mother had cancer from the time I was 8 to the time I was 13, and then she passed away. And that just rocked my whole world. It rocked my father's world. My father never really got over the grief, never got over it. And I always say to Keith, if there was something to happen to each of us, that we have to move on. It's really important to do the time with grief, because grief is a process. Takes time and it's different for everybody, but at some point you have to move on. But my father never did. So life got really, really hard. And being growing up in a cult, you were conditioned to not have problems. You were conditioned to be perfect. And so, you know, I was dying inside. Inside, I had lost the plot, and I was angry with God, and I was angry with the church, and I was angry with everybody, but on the outside, I was fine. And I remember going to the funeral and not crying and just going through the motions, and my dad was in total grief, and I was running the household and cooking and cleaning and paying the bills at 13, which is it's actually too much pressure for somebody of that age. It actually robs your childhood. And you just grow up really quickly. It's not advisable. And so all this stuff was happening, and because I saw God as the God of fear and the God who may not accept me, I was trying to process that at the same time. So it was like a constant turmoil. Is God really there for me? But, you know, I'm struggling, so that's probably not good. He doesn't love me anymore. You know, and so as a teenager struggling with that, it was a very complicated life. And I can remember, you know, lying in bed at night and thinking of 20 different ways to take my life. Seriously. And I am so thankful today that I can look back and go, I'm here today because of Jesus. I'm here today because of Jesus. I'm blessed today because of Jesus. I look at my family and say, how blessed am I because of Jesus? So, you know, life was really, really tough, but God never let go of me. And so this was all happening, and I remember getting to a point where it was just getting way too tough, and an opening came, and I actually moved out of home really early. I moved out of home at 16, and I moved up to Newcastle, and that's where I met Keith. My life all changed. I met Keith, and it was an amazing time. And at the same time, we were both in the cult together, just in different areas. I was in Wollongong and he was in Newcastle. But when I met Keith and we're in church, something changed. Our church that we were in, that was like a cult, actually had a split. And God decided to show up and do something amazing. And the people that still wanted to hold on to the old ways of God left. And the people that wanted more of God stayed. And God hit the place in a most powerful way that I had never experienced before. And it turned our lives around completely. 360 turned us around. from praying to God, from worshipping God. I remember hearing, "My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none but you," for the first time in my whole life. I bawled my eyes out for hours during worship. I finally felt the love of Christ. I finally felt the acceptance from Christ. I finally felt that I belonged. And that's so important, church. That's the relationship that we have with Jesus. It doesn't matter what we do, he's always there. He always loves us. He thinks we're great. You know, one day I was in church and somebody came up to me and said, "I just want to tell you that I believe that God's saying to tell you that he loves you and he thinks you're great." You know how hard that was to take? So hard to hear those words and then to take them and to believe them. But Jesus really does love us. And he's always there. No matter what happens in our lives, no matter what we do, he's there. He's a constant source in our lives. So this all happened and changed our lives for the good. And it was absolutely amazing. And for the first time, I experienced what a true relationship is supposed to be with the Father. I experienced freedom in church. Do you know how good that is to have freedom in church? Freedom in church, a place to belong, a place to feel accepted, a place where you can come and bring and share and not be criticized for it, not be judged for it. I grew up being judged for everything. You know, the pastor would knock, knock, come over, and he would do his regular pastoral visit with me and my dad. And he would sit there and he would tell me all the things wrong with me. Like for hours, I'd be sitting at the dining table. And he would tell me everything that was wrong with me. Church, that's not church. That's not the freedom of Christ. That's the judgment of man. That's the control of man. And you know, I'm sure you've all got different stories here today and testimonies in your life, whether it be with church, whether it be with whatever family life you had grown up in, or whatever relationships you have had that have brought you to the point here today. But church, if you're here today, Christ is here with us and we are called to live a life free. I can smell control now. I can smell it. I can see it. You know, as soon as I see it, I back away because I'm now free because of Jesus and I don't ever want to go back ever again. And so, you know, I'd really like to say that, you know, it's really religion versus relationship. Jesus is all about relationship. The Pharisees were all about religion. You know, this is what we always do. This is tradition. This is what we have to do now. You know, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He healed somebody. What an awesome thing, a miracle. And the Pharisees didn't see it. They just saw that he healed on the Sabbath. They completely missed it. Completely. That Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, healed somebody. A miracle happened. Somebody was set free. And church, that's what we're called to do. We're called to celebrate the goodness of God. We're called to walk in his freedom. We're called to take a step of faith, even when we don't want to. You know, when I came into the fullness of Christ, I'd have to say I was quite scared, in a sense, because I realised that I had a purpose. I realised that God had a plan for me. I realised that I could be part of his bigger church. I realised there were things to do. Whereas before, I never knew any of that. I just knew God of fear. I just knew ticks and crosses. Life is more than that, church. You're all special and individual and unique because of Christ. And he loves us all individually. And he all loves us individually, and he loves us individually for what we do and what we bring together as a family, because we're not all the same and we're not supposed to be. You know, I went through a period of time when I was still trying to find out who I was in Christ, and I thought I had to be somebody else. And I'd look at the people at the front and go, "Oh yeah, I have to dress like them, you know, I have to talk like them, I have to be like..." No, you don't. You're called to be you, church. When you realise that you're called to be you, it releases you. It releases you. You get to a point where you don't care what other people say or think about you. You just walk in who you've designed to be. You know, I love to worship God, and when I came into the fullness of Christ, all I wanted to do was sing for him. When I experienced worship in the most amazing way, I just wanted to sing for him. And I can remember, you know, my pastor saying, oh, you'll never sing. You're not good enough. You'll never sing. Well, God had other plans, church. God's always got other plans for us. Always contrary to what man thinks. Always. You know, and I remember a prophet came into town, and he came to the church I was at the time, and he said, I just see on my hand that God says you're going to sing for him. This is very unexpected, but it was God changing the words of man. God can change the words of man on all of our lives, church. He can change it in an instant. He can break the power of negative words. And he did, and the rest is history. We are a living testimony of Jesus. And you know what that means? That means that whatever we go through, whatever we do, whether good or bad, he's still living in us and he's still developing us. We are a living testimony. Can you say that this morning? I am a living testimony. When you get that revelation, church, nothing can stop you. You know, it's only us. You know, we go through circumstances sometimes and really hard stuff sometimes. Life gets a bit heavy. It can get very heavy. But Christ comes along, and at the right time, in his timing, he takes the heaviness off. It's like sometimes we carry that backpack. You know, we're backpackers. We carry that backpack, and he comes along and he says, right, it's time. And he takes it off. That's the God that we serve. And through that, we're a living testimony. Each one of you have an amazing testimony. You know, for years I thought, I don't really have a testimony. You know, I've been born into Christ and born into the church, you know. I didn't do drugs. You know, that's a good thing. I don't really have a testimony. And then as I got older, I realized I did have a testimony. God has done so much. I'm here today because of Jesus. You're here today because of Jesus. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light. What an awesome, awesome thing. We have a message, church. We carry that message. And it's our responsibility to bring and share it wherever we are, to bring and share. You know, and to remove judgment. To remove judgment. You know, people look at people all the time and think they got it together. You know, Hollywood runs the world. It looks like they got it together. But nobody understands all the grooming that people have to do behind the scenes, how they have to starve themselves to death to get what they need to look like, all the broken relationships they have behind the scenes, all the abuse and things that they suffer behind. Nobody understands that. They just look at the outward appearance. But that's not life, church. That's not life. It's not real. Everybody goes through stuff. Everybody. The Lord has called us to be overcomers because he overcame the world. He's not on the cross anymore. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. You need to hear that this morning. Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's living in us now. He's alive. He's come to bring life and break the curse of sin and death. He's alive. And he's not finished with us, church. We're a living testimony. He's not finished with us. It doesn't matter about our past, it matters about our now. What are we going to do with our now? oh, well, I can't do much. I can't really talk to people. I can't sing. I'm not really holy. No, none of that matters. You do what you're able. You do what you're called to do. You're called to be you. And God will open doors for you that even you can't open. He'll go before us and open doors. He's always doing that. You know, it's like footprints, you know. For a long time, I thought I was doing the struggle of life on my own. But footprints, you know, you look back and you see those prints and you think they were yours, walking on the beach. It was God carrying us. It's God carrying us. He carries us even when we don't know. He wants to do things through us all the time. He's not finished. You know, it's really tough sometimes to live life well and to not live in disappointment and failure. I have to struggle with those sometimes myself. As I'm getting older, I find I'm struggling with more. I might be having a midlife crisis. But, you know, it is a hard thing. But what reminds me is the goodness of God. Life is not over at any age in our lives. It's just beginning. And you and I, we're not failures. We're God's children. How can we be failures if we're God's children? There is no failure with God. There is no failure with Him at all. We're His children. He loves us. He's there for us. He cares for us, church. There is no failure with God. He's not finished with us yet. We're not a mistake. We're not a mistake. Some of you here today need to hear that. We're not a mistake. We're not. We're not orphans. We're here today because of Christ. We belong to Him. We've been intricately planned by Him, intricately designed by Him. He is the I Am, church. He is the I Am. You know, it all belongs to Jesus and our relationship with Him is all about Him and about us, but it's about Him because He loved us first and He's called us. Now, I just want to finish with that this morning. I just want to encourage you this morning. And Anthony's going to get up and the team this morning. Thank you. And I just want to open the altar this morning for you. Not going to, you know, call out anything particular, but if you need prayer this morning, if something speaks to you this morning, don't let the moment go. This is a bit, church sometimes is a bit like God's operating table. And we just have to be willing. We just have to open our hearts and be willing to allow God to do what He needs to do with us constantly through our lives. So this morning, as Anthony and the team worship this morning, I'm going to open the altar. And if you want to come this morning, we're going to pray with you. And I just want to bless you, church, and close the church this morning. If you need to go, you can go. If you want to have a coffee, you're free to do that. And we'll see you next week for Mother's Day. Mother's Day. I love Mother's Day.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you would like more information about our church, visit centrallife.com.au.